Good morning. Very grateful for your presence this morning. You know, I want to remind you of something I know most of you are already aware of, that we were saved to serve. We were saved by God's amazing grace. We were saved because He was willing to come, die for our sins, not for His own. And as a result of being saved and as a result of Jesus saving us, we become disciples of His. In other words, we're going to follow His example. We're going to do what He did. We're going to say what He says. We're going to walk where He walked. And so when we do that, when we become good disciples, then we're going to be just like Jesus. Now, the idea in Mark chapter 10, verses 42 through 45 is, again, Jesus saying, listen, if you're going to follow Me, you have to be a servant. And that passage in verse 45, very familiar to that of Matthew 20, verse 28, for the Son of Man did not come to be served. And let's just say, He had every right, didn't He? I mean, if there was someone who had a right to be served, it was Jesus Christ. He's God in the flesh. He is the Creator of the world. But yet, He didn't come to be served. But rather, He came to serve and to give His life as a ransom for the many. And if you and I, when we decide to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, to give our allegiance to Him, to confess His name, to turn from our sins, to be immersed in the waters of baptism, to be covered by His blood, then we too will be servants. And we will be in many ways like Jesus in that we're going to give our lives for others. And that's exactly what Jesus did. God sent His Son to serve. For you and me, God has a place for you and me in His kingdom, and that is the position of being a servant. It's not a demeaning position in any way, form, or fashion. This doesn't mean that me, you, anyone else is any less. Doesn't mean that. Okay? It's not a demeaning position. It's more, if you think about it from the perspective of what we would understand, the way the Scriptures talk about being a slave in Romans 6, we are a slave to sin or we are a slave to righteousness. When we decide to follow Jesus, we are a slave to righteousness. It shows our position. Being a slave to Jesus Christ, being a servant of Jesus Christ, shows our position, our connection and relationship to Him. And this is a beautiful thing. It's not a demeaning thing. One of the interesting thoughts, though, when it says Jesus came not to be served, but He came to serve, it gives us this interesting word, okay? I know most of you are familiar with the word, whether you've read it recently or heard it recently, but almost everyone in here is familiar with it. It's the same word that we get our word deacon from. Now, let me just ask very quickly, how many men in this congregation serve this church as a deacon? Okay. Raise your hands. Raise them high. I want everybody to see. Raise them high. We've got several deacons here. These guys, according to 1 Timothy 3, have met the qualifications. They were chosen by this spiritual family. They are serving this family. They are deacons. But that word serve or to serve, or depending on whether you're looking at it from a verb standpoint, you know, one who's serving. Like in Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, you have a very unique little story that kind of comes up. And there's not much thought really given to it, except for the fact that it's dealing with Peter. And when Jesus comes into Peter's house in verse 14, what happens is He finds Peter's wife's mother sick with fever. And you might remember that what Jesus does in Matthew chapter 8 verse 15 is he heals her right there on the spot. And He raises her up. She gets up, and you know what she immediately starts to do? She starts to serve. Same word. Same word for deacon. It comes from that word diakonos. Okay? Now what's really interesting about that word, the Bible in Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 says, concerning our relationship with one another, that through love we serve one another. Now, I want to get to a point here in a few moments, but I want you to understand, yes, we have some special men who raised their hand a few moments ago who meet those spiritual, biblical qualifications there in 1 Timothy 3 that serve us as deacons. But in a very real sense, every one of us are servants in that way, not meaning that we're deacons, but meaning that we are servants. For example, you get to Romans chapter 16, verse 1, and in Romans chapter 16, verse 1, where, how many of you remember Phoebe mentioned in Scripture? Well, that's Romans 16, verse 1. And it says that she is a servant of the church. Let me ask you this. How many of you are servants of this church? Now, if you're not raising your hand, you should. Okay? We are servants. Every one of us are servants of the Lord in His church, in His kingdom. We are through love to serve one another. Galatians 5 verse 13, the verse I shared. But in a very real sense, we are all servants. And what's interesting is, and I've talked about this before, and Robert and Mike have actually both shared this thought, but this word deacon, it's really a powerful word. That's where we get the word servant. Okay? It's a powerful word. It's actually the combination of two words, which means the D-I-A part of that, the dia. Diakonos is the Greek word, but the D-I-A, the first part, that's the first word, and it literally means through dust. It's this idea, through dust. So the word dia is through, the word kanos is dust. Now, you're saying, well, how does that make sense? What is this word servant? That is a combination of two words, diakonos, and that means through dust. I mean, what kind of sense does that make? Well, here's the idea behind it. And it's that way with most contexts that you see in Scripture. That when someone is a servant, what are they doing? Are they busy? Are they active? Are they moving about? What happens when people are in the first century on dirt floors, actively moving about, being busy, working, you know, making sure things are getting done? What's happening in that situation? Now, let's just back up for a moment before I explain that. How many of you like dust in your house? Anybody like dust in the house? Okay, kids, how many of you like to clean the dust? Does your parents tell you to go clean your room? You have to clean all the dust off the window sills and you gotta clean it out. How many of you like dust? Anybody in here like dust? Anybody hate dust? Okay, I saw, I think it was Sarah's Facebook. We got this pollen count now. This pollen dust is there. Anybody love dust? Anybody love pollen dust? I mean, you know, this time of year we're gonna hate it. While that may be true, in one respect, in the church, we need to love dust. And here's the reason. Because when people are serving in the church, it's as if spiritually they are kicking up a lot of dust. Because when people are moving about, when they're scurrying about like Peter's mother who got up and served through dust, you know, you're scurrying about, you're serving, you're active. Dust is being kicked up everywhere in a first century dirt floor house. And the idea is that that's what God wants in His church. That God wants us, as all of us, as servants, to be so busy that this place becomes so dusty. And so this idea, again, it's really a powerful word that means through dust. Literally, according to Thayer, in his Greek lexicon, to raise the dust by hastening. And again, I like this imagery. Now, I want to tell you, it will be true that when we move into a new building, the elders are not going to want a lot of dust everywhere. Okay? And they're going to make sure that place is spick and span clean. But God wants in His kingdom, in His church, from a spiritual perspective, dust everywhere. Because when that happens, that means that we are all serving in a very special way. Again, we are active. We are moving about. We are meeting needs. We're fulfilling that thing that Paul said, that through love we are serving one another. And that should be at the very heart of who we are and what we do. Why? Because again, Jesus came to stir up a lot of dust. And when he did, he saved us from our sins. He gave his life as a ransom for the many. Now, it's interesting because, again, we get this imagery in several different places. I know that as we start to talk about deacons, understand that God... Have you ever thought about what your spiritual gift is? Anyone in here ever tried to think, well, if everyone's got a gift, what's my spiritual gift? Anyone tried to figure that out? Not a single one of you were curious about your spiritual gift. I mean, like, what is my spiritual gift? You know, most of us think about that, whether you're raising your hand now or not. We're thinking, you know, what is my place in the church? Where can I serve in the most effective way? That's kind of what we're saying. And so we try to think, you know, am I a teacher? You know, I need to be teaching kids? Can I serve as an elder? You know, is that my gift, leading God's flock? You know, what is my spiritual gift? And, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to figure that out. Like, where's my place? Why does God have me right here in Folsom, Texas, in the Folsom Church of Christ? What does he have me here to do? Here's the answer. Serve. Serve. And you know, you don't have to have a spiritual gift to set out chairs. Believe it or not, you don't. You don't have to have a spiritual gift to set out chairs. You don't have to have a spiritual gift to carry in speakers or to set up classrooms. You really don't. But I will tell you that there are a few people that are stirring up a lot of dust in here when they are scurrying about trying to make sure everything's set up, trying to make sure everything is just right. Danny prayed for that a few moments ago in his opening prayer. And I'm thankful for those people. But you know what? All of us can do that. Doesn't take a single spiritual gift to do that. Maybe a strong back. But yes, we can all serve. In Acts chapter 6, and I want to say this up front, that this is not the first example of deacons as we would understand them in 1 Timothy 3 with those spiritual qualifications. This is not the first example of deacons, okay? But it is the first example in the early church where a ministry came up and the apostles said, okay, this is an important ministry. Let's fill this ministry with some good men. Let's choose 7 men. And in Acts chapter 6, if you want to open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 6, we'll notice the guys that were chosen to serve in this special ministry. Now, let me make a quick point. There are some things I think we can learn from what we understand about our deacons in the church. Is that when we learn in Acts chapter 6, not everyone got to be one of those 7 men who waited on tables. Now, that's all those guys did. All they did was wait on tables. That was it. Nothing else. They were scurrying about. They were stirring up dust, but they were waiting on tables. How many of you want to wait on tables in the church? Not a single person. Amen. Every one of us should be wanting to wait on a table to serve someone in some way. But I think the point to be made is not everyone gets to be a deacon in the church, right? Not every male that's in this church is selected to serve as a deacon. But I am so grateful for this congregation because as I look out, we've got a new crop of wonderful families and wonderful men who are here and faithful and active and working. And we're going to have opportunity to have some of these men to serve as deacons. But in Acts chapter 6, we notice that not everyone got to serve. In those days, verse 1, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the twelve being the apostles, summoned the multitude of disciples and said, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. We've got a greater ministry that we're involved in. We're not going to get involved with doing this, but I'll tell you what. It's an important ministry. We're not going to do it, but we'll set up some men to do it. Now, again, these men, if you want to look at example, not every one of them got to do it. And they were serving under authority, under a leadership authority. Now, the leadership model of authority in this particular case in Acts 6 was the apostles, right? And then when you look at qualifications in verse 3, therefore, brethren, seek out from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. So, what did they do? They selected seven men. Here were some brief qualifications. Nothing like what we read in Acts chapter, in 1 Timothy chapter 3. We'll look at that in just a moment. But just some very simple qualifications. So if you're looking at an example, okay, not everybody got to serve. But when they were selected to serve, they served under a leadership model. And they had to meet simple qualifications. And so they selected these seven men, mentioned in verse 5. And then verse 6, they set whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Now, this is a different experience here. It's not to pass on anything miraculous. This was a transference of blessing. You see this concept very clearly in the Old Testament over and over again. So here's what the apostles are doing. They take these seven men. They're presented to the apostles. The apostles put their hands on them saying, we're blessing this particular service. And then these guys serve. That's what's indicated in this context. Nothing else is expressed here. In verse 7, then the word of God spread and the number of disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now here's kind of, I think, something we need to gather before we leave this text. We need to gather that when people are actively serving in a specific ministry and the leadership is able to do things that are more appropriate according to their responsibilities, when men are serving in other areas, you know what happens to the church? The church naturally grows. Having deacons is a blessing. Again, this word, like as we mentioned in Matthew chapter 8, verse 15, like we mentioned a moment ago in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, this word is that same word, diakonos, through dust. That these guys are actively serving in a capacity in the early church to fulfill a ministry. And for whatever reason, again, men are selected. God, even in this particular case. Now, someone might logically say, well, you know, wouldn't it have been more reasonable for women to have been selected here in Acts chapter 6? These guys may not have even known who those Grecian widows were, but I guarantee you their wives did. Well, the logic behind that kind of thinking might say, well, yeah, women would have been more suited. But here's the point. God, through these apostles, decided to use men. When we get to heaven, ladies, if you want to ask God why he let men do this and why he wanted it this way, you go ahead. But I do have a suspicion as to why I think God selects men. I will tell you, and this is in no way to put down men, so let me say that up front. But I will just be honest and say that in my 25 years of ministry, I have seen more women active in the church than I have men. And I think if you just say in general, who's going to do it? I mean, who most of the time will step up and do it? Let's be honest. Mamas, women, they'll step up and do it. That they do it at home, don't they? And in the church, if God were to just let it, women would do everything in the church because men would just let them. And here's a leadership dynamic that God says, listen, here is the leader, not only in the home, but here are the leaders in the church. And I don't want you to just let someone else do it. I want you to step up and be responsible in ministry. And that's what you have happening in Acts chapter 6. Men are selected to step up and be responsible in ministry. And as a result, the church grows. Okay? Now, let's look over very quickly at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. First Timothy chapter 3, we're going to skip the first seven verses because those are qualifications for elders. Okay? Specifically, the elders, Mike and Robert, asked me to talk about deacons today. And so I want us to understand that God has put us all in the church so that we can serve. And God has selected, and even in the early church, He selected men to serve in specific ministry areas, like in Acts 6. But God also has in His church a leadership model dynamic where men serve as elders and men serve as deacons. And there are qualifications given for both. Now again, the reason I say that those guys in Acts chapter 6 are not the first deacons is because this particular section has different qualifications. So here's the idea. Now how many of us are servants in the church? Let's ask that question again. How many of us are servants in the church? Every one of us are servants in the church. But God has some individuals that He has set aside as special servants in ministry areas. Okay? If I were to ask the men who, raise your hands again if you're a deacon in this church. If you are a 1 Timothy 3 verses 8 and following deacon in the church. Okay, if I would say who's a deacon in the church, well, if we're thinking servant and we're serving through, well, we're all servants. But who is a special 1 Timothy 3, 8 and following deacon? Okay, there's some of you here. And these guys have specific ministries that they are over. Okay, now what does that help us do in this church? Well, besides a ministry being fulfilled, it helps us grow, right? It helps us grow. Anytime deacons are being added in the kingdom of God in a specific location, that means the church is growing, and that is a beautiful thing. That's why God wants this place so dusty, because what it does, it puts forth this idea of growth. Now again, look at the qualifications beginning in verse 8. Much different than those three that were mentioned in Acts chapter 6. You remember in Acts chapter 6? Good report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Pretty simple qualifications. Here, these are different. Likewise, deacons, plural, must be reverent, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy for money, holding the mystery of faith with a pure conscience. But let these also first be tested. There's a testing period. And then let them serve as deacons, being found blameless. Likewise, their wives, a deacon must have a what? Wife. We have some men in here who may not be married. Okay? Those individuals are not candidates to be deacons. A deacon must have a wife. Their wives must be reverent, not slanderers, temperate, faithful in all things. Let deacons be the husband of one wife. That just means they just have one wife. You can look at that however. I know there's lots of thoughts about that verse. Just literally means you got one wife. How many of you just have, anybody got more than one wife here? So Mike needs to talk to you after church. We also need to give you a bottle of Tylenol too, I'm pretty sure. Thank you for laughing, Randy. That was a good one. I thought that was a good one and no one. So look at verse 12. Let deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own house well. So a deacon, so this man who's going to be a deacon needs to be married and he needs to have children. Doesn't mean that men that don't have kids are not important in the kingdom of God. It just means when we select deacons, they have to meet these qualifications. Right? Does it? So if you're not married, you can't be a deacon, a 1 Timothy 3 deacon. If you don't have kids, you can't be a 1 Timothy 3 deacon. Obviously, you must be a Christian as well. Because you're holding verse 9, the mystery of the faith with a pure conscience. But let, he says, a husband of one wife ruling their children and their own houses well. For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So it's a blessing to serve as a deacon. Amen. Those of you who are serving as special servants selected to serve in a specific capacity. You've met these qualifications. You're serving this church currently as deacons. Help me out. It's a blessing to serve this church as a deacon. Amen? Amen. It certainly is. So, we want to make sure that we are serving all of us, because not all of us meet those qualifications, but all of us are called to serve. But when we put men who are pivot points at in specific ministries, when we appoint men over these areas, they need to meet those qualifications. Doesn't mean that you can't serve under that deacon and alongside that deacon in whatever ministry he is involved in. He may call on you and need you. But the point is, not everyone gets selected. Just in the same way. Think about of all those thousands of people there in Jerusalem in Acts 6, and how many were selected in all of those thousands of people in the early church? Just 7. Okay? So again, it doesn't mean anything negative toward you. It just means that you can't serve in this ministry. And remember, that's what Jesus came for us to serve. Now again, He in both Romans chapter 12 verses 3 and following, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verses 12 and following, we understand that we're a body, we are a living organism, okay? We are a living organism that has many parts, and all of those parts are needed to help the church function the way that it should. And what God does in the body is He selects, or has the church to select, certain men to serve in specific areas who meet those qualifications in 1 Timothy 3 verse 8, okay? When you think about service, men, and you think about your responsibility to God, God wants you to first and foremost be a leader in your home. And one of the ways, one of the many ways you do that is through serving in your home. Okay? Again, Galatians 3, 15, you are to be a servant, not just in the church, but also in your home. The greatest, Galatians 5 verse 13, the greatest area of service is in your home. Okay? And that's one of the ways that your children will help to see that you're serious about your commitment to Jesus Christ in faith. I've had a lot of parents through the years to come and say, I just don't know why my kids are not faithful in church. And knowing the background of some of these families, I would want to say, listen, if you want me to be honest with you, it's because your kids never saw you be serious about faith. And what happens when you're not serious about faith in your home is children say, well, if they're not serious about it, I'm not going to be serious about it. If it's just something from the head, I just believe, and it's not something I do put into practice, then it's not going to matter. You're setting the wrong example. God wants us all to be servants in His kingdom, in this church. God wants you to serve in this church. God wants us, because we're growing, to add deacons in this church, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and following. So when we start a process to add deacons, guys, first and foremost, if you're being a good leader, step up. Step up and accept that area of responsibility, number one. Number two, get excited about it, right? We are serving not as though we're serving men, but we are serving as though we're serving Jesus Christ. If Jesus walked into this church today, would you stand up and serve unconditionally? Absolutely you would. You would give your life as a ransom for Jesus Christ. But what God wants us to do is He wants us to give our lives as a ransom for His church and to serve in the world. And I can't wait to see what God has in store for this great church. Amen? Amen. To see the men that will serve, the excitement that will come from those new ministries, to see new people pick up that mantle and hold it high and serve with a pure heart and a sincere conscience. It's going to be great. It's going to be great to hey, I want you to look around. You're sitting elbow to elbow, 6 feet apart, mind you, by some of the greatest servants in the world. And among this group of great servants, we're going to select some men to serve as deacons. And they're going to take a ministry and they're going to run with it. And as a result of that happening, this church will continue to grow. You know what we'll have to do again? Add more deacons. But that's a beautiful thing. God wants this place dusty. Think about what Jesus did for you. He gave his life as a ransom for you. The whole reason that we talk about church and we talk about service and we talk about deacons and we talk about ministry is because Jesus came to save people. And we need to remember that. That our main purpose for being right here in this place at this time is to share the message of Jesus Christ so others can be saved. When they are saved, they need a place to work. I heard a story. I've often thought about why God does the way he does the things that he does, and I really don't know the answers to why he does some of the things that he does. But I know one of the things that helps with service in the church is that it keeps people faithful. And I heard a story about an individual, and this group had come in, and they were wanting to interview some of the members. They were trying to figure out what the dynamic of the church was, and how, you know, why the church was growing, and all the things that were going on in this church, and the good things that were happening. And they interviewed this one guy, and he was kind of a humble man, and he very modest. You know, he wasn't very well educated, and they interviewed. They said, "Well, why do you think this is just the place to be?" He said, "Because this is my family." They said, no, what? Why is this place the place to be?" And he said, "Because they need me." He said, "Expound on that. What do you mean they need you?" He said, "Well," he said, "ever since I came in, someone gave me the job of carrying out the trash." Simple as that is, carrying out the trash. And he said, "You know what? I know if I'm not there, then somebody else is having to do that ministry." He said, "But they need me to do that." And he said, "Because they need me to do that, I'm a part of this family and I'm an active part of this church." And I don't know if that's the reason, but God wants us all serving. Whether it's picking up trash, whether it's sitting in chairs, you know, God wants you here. You have a place. But if you're actively participating in stirring up dust, then you feel like you belong. If you feel a little bit disconnected from this spiritual family, if you're a member of this spiritual family and you feel a little bit disconnected, let me ask you this. Are you serving? Because if you're not serving, really, you don't feel like you're an active part of the family. Jesus came to save us. And then as he has saved us, he wants us to serve, and we serve through love. And when we do that, God's plan just seems to work in a beautiful way. We feel like we're apart, and this becomes a special place to us. Now, let me ask this question. Is this a special place here in the Fulshear Church of Christ? Amen. Keith's the only one who agrees with that. Is this a special place here in the Fulshear Church of Christ?
Amen.
Amen. It is, right? And if you're serving, you feel like you belong and you feel needed. And I hope that the men that will step up and serve as deacons will run with great faith and excitement and serve this church. We're going to offer the invitation. Youssef's got an invitation song picked out. And as we sing this song, if this is your moment to step out in faith, to be saved by Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross for our sins, by confessing his name, repenting of your sins, and being immersed in the waters of baptism, if this is your moment to do that, then we want you to know, welcome into the family. We want you here. And then once you become a part of a saved member in this family, once you become a part of this family spiritually, we're going to have a job for you because you've been saved to serve. If we can help you in any way, please come all together, stand and sing.